Alright, there's gotta be something on.
They say the word shit like 100 times.
You make the bully drink piss.
Whoa!
What is this exactly about?
Sean's parents are basically on the verge of a divorce.
We'll come back to bite them in the ass later.
I always wonder, like, why was it always that kid's problem?
Did you see that?
But I'm sure I'm quite drunk enough to see Meet the Beatles.
Of course, yeah. Nobody saw it. You know why? Because no one saw this movie.
It's like Avenue Q, only worse.
Yeah, it was definitely a rental for me.
On 3D, plus the IMAX 3D, plus the other theater had it.
Which was not really that hard.
Wait, where did he come from?
Get it up.
One of those covers of the Video Store, you remember?
Oh, this is that movie? Yep, of course. Yep, what in the hell is this and why is it on my TV? Yeah, I'm gonna have to catch this from the beginning.
What am I watching?
A bunch of people are sitting out on a curb. Guy coughs, spits into the puddle on the street. All of a sudden a car comes by, splashes the puddle onto all the passengers. Cuts to the word coronavirus.
So it's
day 100 something.
Locked in. If no one had told me, hey, there's a global pandemic right now, I would have probably not known for the first couple weeks.
The state shut down everything with any public venues. I'm unfortunately considered essential, so I'm out in the world every day and trying my best not to kill my family.
How are you guys doing with this amazing global situation we find ourselves in? Happy quarantine!
My laptop to charge my phone right now. I haven't quite fully pimped out the new studio yet, so
yeah,
but, and 18%, and I'm just trying to make sure my laptop doesn't fall asleep, because I think if my laptop falls asleep,
it stops charging. Yeah, welcome to 2020, where this is the new fucking headache. Everybody was so tired of running wires everywhere, but now everything's battery powered. And I mean, I've spent 2 days on the phone with Verizon trying to get, like, I've got all kinds of jacked up shit going on with my Verizon account, but I finally got my plan upgraded, and now I'm just trying to upgrade the phone. And the biggest thing is, because the freaking battery doesn't hold its charge anymore, I'm like, I'm being driven to this because this new device is not going to last more than 2 hours away from somewhere I can charge it. In 2020, that shouldn't be a problem anymore, but it is, you know? Anyway, we're still good. I've got
sorry, guys.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Damn thing.
It's all good, brother.
It's not working now. It's really frustrating, though. We had some good stuff on that. So
we still got it.
Until it charges a little bit. So.
Skype recorder used to constantly, like, you'd be able to check the folder that you're recording to, and you could keep, you know, close it and open it, and the number, the size of your file would keep going up. So you knew it was being physically recorded as you're recording it. Everything's happening in the RAM now. Everything's happening in, like, the sort of, like right now, all of this is being held somewhere in the RAM that Skype has taken over from my machine. But if the machine if I were to lose power right now, the same thing would happen to me. I would lose everything we did up until right now, which is not how it used to be. And I've had plenty of calls where we were on the call for an hour, somebody dropped off or the power went out, and I still had that hour up to the point where the power went out. And then since they changed everything and put everything much more in the cloud and in the RAM and in the temporary spots, I have had 2 calls where, like, we just didn't even bother. Everything's lost, and we're all so crushed that we're not even going to try to record that again. We'll come back in a couple years, maybe, and we'll tackle that one.
It's a bunch of bullshit, dude.
Yeah, man. I hate technology. Well, fuck you.
I will say, you know, while we wait for Dave to reboot, before we switch gears entirely.
Oh, I'm good. I'm still rolling.
Well, we were talking about directors, and, you know, I did briefly mention Zemeckis.
Yeah.
You should, you know, show him a little bit of love just for the people out there that don't know. If you don't know who Robert Zemeckis is, he's the famous director of Used Cars and I Want to Hold Your Hand.
He made the entire
Back to the Future trilogy, Forrest Gump,
yeah,
Who Framed Roger Rabbit, yep, Death Becomes Her, Castaway, Beowulf has more recently, Polar Express a little more recently.
Well, is he also the
series premiere
of Tyler?
Flight, also more recent films.
Was the pilot of Tales from the Crypt, right? Pilot episode of Tales from the Crypt and the...
I believe, yeah.
Yep.
the Santa Claus one, right? And then he had a couple, like, there were a couple famous Zemeckis episodes of the Tales from the Crypt from the HBO days back in the...
Yeah, the U-Murderer and the yellow one. Chris and I were talking about that earlier.
With
With
Douglas, right? With Kirk Douglas or something.
Yeah, yeah, the Two-Fisted Tales episode that was supposed to be a brand new show, but they just swapped it into Tales from the Crypt, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, very interesting interesting way that that worked out. And that was a fascinating time, the whole Tales from the Crypt, and that was another great fucking show. And back when, you know, the right people still had, you know, a little bit of power and things. And
He did the one where they brought back Humphrey Bogart for an episode of Tales from the Crypt. And
U-Murderer. Yep.
Yeah, and that was right after Forrest Gump, so it was right in the time of, like, oh my God, can you believe what they could pull off? They could have Tom Hanks talking to JFK, and JFK's dead. Let's see what they do with Humphrey Bogart. And I think Isabella Rossellini was in there playing her mom, you know, playing, what's her name?
You know, it's ironic, you know, kind of, and I don't mean to go too off the deep end on this, but when we're talking about Forrest Gump and special effects and stuff, you know, I've always regarded T2 as, like, the film with, like, maybe the best special effects out there, and it still quite possibly could be, but I think you also have to put Forrest Gump in the conversation because, you know, they really don't stick out of the movie at all. Not right. a single one of those effects, and this is 1994, 93 probably, when they're making it and conceptualizing these effects, you know, testing them to see if they could even pull this shit off.
Yeah.
You know, and it's unbelievable, you know, what they do with that movie. And if you don't know film, even if you do know film and you're really paying attention, you could totally miss it.
Yeah.
You know, like, the one that I always love is the Washington Monument thing, the speech. Where he hugs her in the water and the whole fucking crowd goes nuts.
Yeah.
They didn't have a fucking huge crowd that big. So, and they didn't have the technology to do CG crowds yet. So they had, like, you know, 700 people, and they had them stand in different sections and film the thing with the camera on the computer motion, and they spliced it all. They just spliced it together digitally. And, like, man, that comes together. It's one of those fucking great emotional film moments.
Yeah.
And it hinges on these special effects. You kind of get into the emotion of it because the whole fucking crowd goes apeshit when they hug, and it's a beautiful moment, you know? And that's a fucking special effect. And, you know, that's a special effect that hits you in the heart.
Yeah.
That's the first movie that had that kind of shit. It was, you know, a little different.
Yeah, we take it for granted now, for sure, with the worlds that have been built since. You know what I mean? That was one of the... And I think that's the other thing with all these directors, too, is that what you used to call, like, the director's filmography, now it almost feels like that's that director's, like, cinematic universe that they've created. Even if the movies never actually cross each other's paths, a lot of the time you just kind of feel like, yeah, these stories are all taking place in the same world in that guy's head. You know what I mean?
And totally. Everyone in Zemeckis' movies wears Nikes and red t-shirts.
Yeah, like, yep.
There's a fucking link there. So in my mind, it's like the red shirt cinematic universe.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Even in The Walk, the dude in The Walk looks just like fucking... He dresses just like Jay Fox in Back to the Future 2. He's got the red shirt, jeans, and black leather jacket. You all right, buddy? You all right, Ian?
Yeah, I lost it all. I'm so ticked off about this. It's a brand new computer, and it's not working the way that my other one did. That was perfect.
Yep.
And so I'm dealing with all that frustration. So I'm sorry, guys. I screwed it up.
Oh, man. Dude, Dave will clean it up. I know he's going to make it sound great.
This is like that real genius moment when it's just like, sometimes these little setbacks are what we need to take a giant leap forward, right, Kent?
No, this is when life takes a turn, and you just... Or sitting like a smelly turd.
God. Well, we only had, I think, another 20 minutes on the schedule tonight anyway, so we should probably, like we just did with Zemeckis, do a little bit of a lightning round of some directors that we haven't yet. I mean, like, we haven't even talked about John Hughes. We haven't mentioned Scorsese until just now briefly.
I'll tell you, the other director I really love studying his career is actually Dario Argento.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And I have, you know, and I tend to like the masters of horror. And I've talked on the episode about Mick Garris before, and, you know, Stuart Gordon. I love those guys. But Dario Argento is one of those directors. I don't think a lot of people talk about him a whole lot. And
not enough.
And I will stand by his episode, Jennifer on Masters of Horror.
Mm-hmm.
To me, is one of the scariest ideas that I've ever seen, and it's not like a jump at you scary thing. It's just, it's so horrific
that story. Have you guys seen that episode?
No, I haven't seen, unfortunately.
It's fascinating because it's basically Steven Weber finds this woman out in the middle of a forest, and a guy is about to kill her. And he's a cop, so he shoots the guy who's trying to kill this girl. Well, you find out she has this horrifying face. You know, it's just the most, you know, she has the most beautiful body, but her face is horrendous. She's, you know, and you don't really know why. But he ends up falling in love with her, not only sexually, but just can't, he becomes obsessed with her. And, you know, not to spoil the movie, but it's kind of a, circle movie where it reverts back to where you kind of find him at the beginning. And it is so horrifying, this movie. And I don't think Dario Argento gets enough credit for this movie. I know he gets it credit, you know, for all his giallos and all of his other movies, but that Demons. One.
Yeah.
Oh, well, and he didn't direct that one. He just produced Demons.
Oh, that's right. Was it Umberto Bava?
Yeah, yeah. He did that one, but you know, all the giallos, the like Trauma and Stendhal Syndrome and all these other, you know, all these, you know, Opera. Have you ever seen Opera?
No, that's been on my list to check out actually for a while now.
You know, I just famous for this one scene where, you know, a girl has to keep her eyelids open because he put, you know, sewing needles on her, the bottom of her eye, so if she blinks,
you know, holy shit,
she'll stab her eyes. You know, he's famous for doing, but Dario Argento is one of those. If you're a filmmaker and you want to watch how the camera can be used as language, that I think is his ultimate legacy right there. But
I
yeah,
Suspiria, the original Suspiria too.
Oh yeah,
I never saw that. I never saw the remake because I don't know why they do these things.
Yeah. Some things should just be left alone and remade. But at the same time, you know, there's a certain element of when I saw that movie, I watched it with a group of people who were, I don't know, 6 or 7 years younger than me. It was a previous relationship and like her friends. And I could see that they couldn't even get on board. Like the attention span was an issue. Yeah. And so like that style, like when you talk about using film as language, using the camera as a voice, I think there may have been a bit of a knowledge loss sort of, or an audience re-evolution, de-evolution kind of thing where, you know, it's a Marvel Cinematic Universe world now. If everything isn't all shiny and hyped up, you know, and quick. I mean, like, even The Matrix. I've been watching The Matrix. For some reason, I'm suddenly, like, really obsessed. I guess because there's this fourth movie they're starting to talk about that was in production just before COVID and now is... the film is postponed until 2022, but the Wachowskis are back at work, and I'm like looking at that and going like, I think this movie would only about halfway stand up right now. Like if you show this to like a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old, it might be too lame. You know what I mean? Like there's certain elements, and that was a movie for us. I think was one of the last renaissance in filmmaking was like the way they used camera work and the way they changed the way special effects were happening. So it's sort of like, it's hard to make these calls sometimes, and sometimes I worry that we might just be speaking to our people, you know, like we might just be speaking to our contemporaries. And if any of you younger folks out there are hearing us, they're going like, all right, let me go check this out. I could see a lot of people going, well, I like the newer version of Suspiria. I tried watching that old one and it was like fucking boring, man. It took forever before, like after the first person got killed, before another person got killed. And I'm just going, what the fuck is going on? I want there to be blood from minute one till minute done and everything else. And then the other thing is we have this whole thing with movies not ending anymore. There's movies that just like, it seems like, okay, we finished. We're out of budget. We're out of time. This movie's just going to stop here.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate that. Yeah. That's and the equivalency of like a song that fades out, you know?
Yeah.
We didn't really know how to end this song.
And I don't, I don't have a lot of names to put to those, but I know like a lot of newer films I've been watching in particular, I feel like that Truth or Dare movie that we spoke about in the spirituality and horror episode moment.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of feel like that. They just, we're out of ideas. We don't know how to do this. So it just ends. Everybody's fucked. The whole internet is now involved in this game. Spoiler alert. And Jason Mantzoukas film I just watched on Netflix. It's like all of a sudden it just ends. And I'm like, you know, it's really hard. We're trying. trying to just drop the spotlight on some things that may have flown below the radar for some folks, but I hope that there's still an appreciation out there for some of the stuff we're talking about. Like Michael Mann, what was the last thing he did? I mean, since Miami Vice, yeah. You know what I mean? Public Enemy, maybe, and that it's sort of like met very sort of lukewarm reviews.
I don't know if you think making me repeat myself is going to somehow make the story change, or if you just don't want to hear what it is I actually have to say, but again, we changed course based on orders received on the flash ban from company headquarters. Code Gold, command eyes only. Standard operating procedure, as I know you are aware. Search and rescue would rarely venture into an unregulated area without more concrete proof of life. We sure found something out there, all right.
When you watch it as a little kid, you know, it's a monster movie, it's creepy, but then there's all the weird artificial intelligence stuff, there's the, like, rapey nature of the facehuggers and all that.
Why don't you stick your face in the egg, dude? Is there an egg opening in front of you? Stick your face in there and see what happens.
When I fall asleep at night, I have this irrational fear that something is going to crawl inside and, like, lay eggs inside of me. I'm actually wondering, now that we're talking about this, if this might have been the impetus for that.
You know, Star Wars comes out, and they go, what other movies do we have set in space? Boom, Alien gets green light the next day.
Very similar to just even how our government is in preparation for something where they didn't know exactly what was in store, like specifically xenomorphs.
Bodily fluids, and it's not just blood. There's a lot of, like, grease, and there's a lot of sweat. And if it wasn't the blood that got me, it was the sheer amount of sweat.
We're on a mission to bring back knowledge of the xenomorph.
The end of all mankind, all wrapped up in a bow, just waiting for us to come along. You're gonna find yourself staring down the barrel of a living, breathing devil in the flesh that bleeds acid and lives to kill us.
I know we've, just another name to drop in there real quick, too. Another one, Cronenberg. You know, I haven't seen him do much. What's he done in a while? You know, I haven't seen, maybe he's still doing tons of shit and I just don't know. You know, that's often the case. Because just new movies, you know, again, most new movies just aren't marketed to anything that appeals to me, you know.
Yeah.
He did a few. I remember The Map of the Stars, the Robert Patterson.
Couple
of those. He did some more recent ones, but yeah, it was the same thing though. It wasn't big releases, it was just more smaller things. But yeah, Michael Mann, I can't remember either.
Collateral, was that?
That was a while ago.
Public Enemies, right?
Yeah, I think it's Public Enemy.
That was one of those kind of undoing movies. I have a friend of a friend. You know, a friend of mine has multiple friends who worked on the set of that movie, and there's some horror stories about
shit,
the process,
really?
Behind the scenes and shit. Not like terrible, it'll never work in this town again, you know, kind of shit. Just like, it's a weird way, just, you know, I don't want to harp on it too much, but just apparently his style is very weird. He comes in with, like, you know, all these different cameras of such varying, vastly different degrees and quality.
Yeah.
And, like, he doesn't know which one he's going with at any time. So, you know, he'll come in with, like, 35mm film cameras and then, like, respectable digital cinema cameras and then, like, home handy cams and shit.
Yeah.
And you could tell often if you watch Public Enemies, there's a lot of the home handy cam shots in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's parts of that, you know, for the potential of Depp and Bale at the height of their fucking shit.
Yeah.
You know, Dillinger and Melvin Purvis, this is going to be amazing, you know? And boy, it didn't live up to that in any sense. But, you know, those shots, like the shootout at Little Bohemia, which is something I've eaten at that restaurant 1,000 times in my life.
Right?
I grew up in the Midwest. Little Bohemia is famous. They still have bullet holes in the windshield. I always imagined that from the time I was fucking 6 years old. And man, it looked like a fucking History Channel reenactment. Like, not to knock the man, but like that just like, that looked terrible. Like, oh my God. Like,
we also,
the same guy who made Heat? What fucking planet are we on?
And
what
I felt
alien
that
took over
way.
This man? Like,
when I watched Hancock, I was like, holy fuck. fuck, he was involved in this? Why? You know what I mean? Like, there's always that one or two that kind of get thrown into the collection where you're like, oh, shit. Well, I guess I would probably experiment here and there, too. But damn, dude, what the fuck was up with this? You know, we also haven't mentioned David Lynch at all, but I think that's because David Lynch is sort of its own genre.
Yeah. like its own podcast.
That's a podcast in a whole... Yeah. That's a universe that's well established as a...
Its own channel of podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like...
You got to be ready to go down that rabbit hole because it takes a long time to get out of.
You got to respect, you know, those dudes and the whole, you know, any of those USC guys that we didn't mention too. We mentioned Milius. We didn't really talk about Lucas. We didn't talk that much about Coppola.
Right.
You know, we did talk about Zemeckis. Obviously, Spielberg, you know, guy has made a movie or two you might have seen.
Obviously, we'll have to do a volume two on this type of a discussion because this was sort of like, hey, you know, it's been summertime. We're all kind of doing a bunch of different stuff. It's been a minute since we've been on the mic. How's everybody doing? Oh, yeah, by the way, here are some directors we love. You know, not necessarily ones that are putting out new stuff that we're watching during this still ongoing quarantine, but you know, it's also going to be weird because we're about to come up on the entire year of nothingness because everything got put on hold. So, we might not have anything coming out for a while. I might start talking about some foreign people.
Well, and to end on a circle in a weird way, you know, it's interesting. You know, George Romero's, you know, passed away a few years ago.
Rest in
peace. Well, there's a movie that has been in his files for years that's an unreleased movie that all of a sudden, I think next year, they're going to re-release it. You know, an unseen George Romero movie called The Amusement or something. It's a movie dealing with, you know, ageism and kind of a pseudo-horror movie that he didn't get to finish, or it's only an hour long, and he never got to... But anyway, the DVD company is going to re-release it. So it's great. Even now, we're going to still get more films from directors that we love that never have seen. I love that.
Yeah.
So,
it's a great time to keep.
And you know, I think we're gonna get hopefully more things like the Schneider Cut
that's upcoming.
That I'm excited about. And there's a another an interesting director visually is a powerhouse. I feel like he has been given some tough scripts to work with. Man.
Sure.
I don't know. Like if there were better writers for his movies, then he would be fucking mind blow. He could have been the next Verhoeven or something. That dude has a visual sense that is just amazing.
But it's interesting because he had a 5-year window around about kind of like Verhoeven did, where it was like he had these couple big hits where everybody was just like, wow. And then now you kind of people are going, oh, yeah, I didn't really like the 300. I'm like, hey, fuck you. Everybody was talking about the 300 when that came out. All right.
Don't
act like you weren't part of that crowd. I was with you. You were there. We saw that shit in the movie. Sin City with Frank Miller's stuff being so big and Rodriguez, finding a way to bring that comic book look to the film. And I think without stuff like that, we probably wouldn't be knee deep in Marvel world like we are now.
Oh, for sure.
And Robert Rodriguez, we didn't mention Tarantino at all.
obviously that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
No, so, we'll do a volume 2.
Yeah, and 3 and 4 probably.
And 4.
We got to do a whole Shane Blackverse conversation at some point and talk about the
Predator. Oh, God, yes, dude. Sign me the fuck up.
Hell yeah, man. Shane Black.
I'm ready right now. Give me fucking 5 minutes to make a tea.
And I know, right, dude? Throw on Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and chat for a while.
Oh, fucking A. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, man. Well, it's pretty cool. Is there anything that you guys have seen promos for that you're going to check out that we might be talking about on the podcast or that you want to talk about soon or anything? I mean, any new shows on streaming services as we wrap out, just to kind of quickly throw other stuff at our audience.
I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to Bill and Ted 3.
Yep.
That's all I could say.
Everybody's
on
board.
I hope they don't screw it up, but hey, all I know is William Sadler is back as Death.
Yeah.
I don't care.
That part is going to be 100%.
The whole movie could suck, but William Sadler's Death, I'm there. 100%.
Excellent point.
Yeah.
I will say, streaming wise and shit, I have to plug because it's season 1 and 2 are hitting Netflix on August 28th. Cobra Kai,
yes!
Folks, if you're not watching Cobra Kai, you need to be watching Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I get my hopes up for things and they never fucking, you know, deliver. Everything's been a disappointment. I had dream sky high hopes for what Cobra Kai could be, and it even surpassed my sky high expectations. I love Cobra Kai.
It's seriously so fucking
phenomenal.
Good. I've only seen the first season.
If you, you know, if you start it and it's not grabbing you right away, give it a few episodes.
Yeah.
By the time you get to season, by the fifth episode of season one, you will be so fucking into it. That has one of the best fight scenes from a story point that I've seen in decades.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah, there's not much, you know, streaming that's really, you know, getting me too excited these days. You know, I'm trying to keep myself busy and not farting around watching too much stuff, you know. But if I get Shudder, I'm sure I will go, you know, off the deep end. So
yeah,
and also, you know, for other people, you know, speaking of Shudder, watch Joe Bob and The Last Drive-In, folks.
Yeah.
If you're not,
oh, I love that. You know, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. That's, I mean, that's the cure for any kind of summertime blues.
Yeah. You know? Man,
right there.
Shudder's got tons of great stuff, though. I mean, I've been watching more documentaries than anything, I think, lately on the streaming services. And of course, Shudder's got Scream Queen about Mark Patton and the making of Nightmare on Elm Street 2, which I definitely didn't want to check out. And I'm actually friends with him on Facebook, so I'd love to maybe chat with him at some point about his involvement in the franchise and the documentary. But yeah, as far as streaming, like we've had some blackouts and some storms out here on the East Coast lately, and so we actually had a moment where Dave's massive DVD and Blu-ray collection kind of came through to save the day when the internet was down, and it's like, hey, can watch X-Files, guys. I got all of it. So yeah, streaming. I mean, still watching a lot of the British stuff. And I think as far as the only thing that's kind of suddenly captivated me besides, you know, Bill and Ted 3 and John Wick 4 down the road is that John Wick 4 and Matrix 4 are going to be out there. And I'm suddenly feeling myself getting pulled back into giving a shit about the Matrix when I had sort of divorced myself from it for so long. But
I wasn't mad about the McConaissance. But the fucking Keanu-sans, I am way stoked on.
Oh my God, that is a podcast in itself, man. At least a two-parter, I would think. Because John Wick, man, holy shit, I love that movie. I love all those movies. Man, whoever the guys are directing those, man, they found a good formula. We also didn't talk about Todd Phillips and his huge Joker out of characterness in my mind because he was all old school and Road Trip, and then all of a sudden for him to do Joker, I'm like, dude. I guess he did Wedding Crashers, too. Did he do Wedding Crashers or The Hangover? He did The Hangover, right?
Hangover.
Wedding Crashers was something. Yeah.
Which I'm not a big fan of The Hangover. But, you know, I did just see a movie called... I just streamed a movie called Killing Hasselhoff. That was actually very good.
I've been meaning to watch it. It keeps coming up on Netflix. On the
Definitely worth checking out, guys. Be sure to do that.
Along those lines... the movie Killing Gunther that's on Netflix, I feel like is sort of in a similar sense of having Schwarzenegger make fun of his Schwarzeneggerness, but also giving all these other comedic actors a chance to be like the Smokin' Aces assassins out there. So that's one I watched recently. I think you guys would dig it, so I'd love to chat about it on air sometime.
Awesome.
We should just keep this tallied list going, and for anybody playing at home, feel free to email us some suggestions at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. and of course I hope you're following us on Facebook and Twitter and all the other places where we are posting all kinds of crazy content. Anything else? I know Ian, you did an interview with another podcast recently, right? Anything you guys want to point to out there that's floating around? Or
yeah, I mean, I would love to. Great individuals who have a great podcast called the Derry Public Radio.
Ooh, like Derry, Maine.
They're actually from Iowa. It's a totally devoted to Stephen King podcast. Wonderful, wonderful individuals. But also, if anybody's interested, quadcities.com. Tristan Tapscott does a great podcast on there, but that's about a lot of local artists in the Quad City, Iowa area. So check out those two podcasts.
Sweet. Anything going on with you, Chris? The live action media posters are all over Facebook. Keep checking those out, guys.
Yeah, I mean, come check out my horrible movie mashups. I like to think that they're the dumber I get with them, the more you're likely to crack a smile or a laugh. Other than that, not doing much. Kind of in the early stages of trying to get some YouTube stuff going again and thinking about doing some things that hopefully Hollow Nine wants to get in on.
Hell yeah!
But it's probably too early to say much more than that. Other than that, just stay tuned to Hollow Nine and keep following live action media on Facebook and on YouTube, and hopefully you'll be hearing from us again real soon.
Absolutely. All right, well, thank you guys for coming and hanging out with us as the Film Fanatics came around the table to talk about some directors they love, and we'll be doing this again. Until then, keep tuned in to hollow9.com. It's the word hollow, the number 9, INE.com. We're also on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Anchor FM. There's lots of places you can find us. And you keep coming back. We'll keep putting out content, and it'll be amazing. Hope everybody's staying safe out there, getting through the still ongoing quarantine. We got all kinds of stuff going on over here, including Dave the Clone's trip to Disney World coming up. So we'll have plenty to talk about what's going on in the COVID Disney World vacation.
You're going to the NBA bubble, my
hell
friend.
Yeah, man. Right into the epicenter. It's going to see what happens. So that'll be fun to talk about, too. So until then, thank you guys for checking it out, and we will see you next time. Later.
You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollow9.com, where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollow9.com or at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine.
The New Jersey HorrorCon reputation is exploding. The atmosphere you guys have created. New Jersey HorrorCon was my entree into an actual horror convention.
Love it.
And you're doing a great job.
That is amazing. I'm super proud and super inspired to hear that. I mean, that's a testament to the community of cons and, of horror and stuff in general.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's Carmen Electra.
Hey.
Wow, we are all giving high fives to an absolute icon.
This is incredible.
Trailblazer, amazing. You are amazing. Carmen Electra,
absolutely. Be well. Safe. Thank you so much.
Love.
Have a good one. Be well.
So
you can't see it on radio, but she's still
God.
Got it.
Oh my God, yes.
That's
absolutely.
My wife.
Still
there.
Got it.
My wife gets the picture of Carmen Electra.
The wife does it. There you go, wife. Good job, wife. That's a keeper. That wife's a keeper.
Are you having a blast?
I am having a blast. Are you having a blast?
I am.
This place is awesome, right?
What's your most favorite part of the whole day so far?
When the guy dressed like Gene Simmons from Kiss stopped in front of our booth and we put Strutter on and he did a lip sync to the whole thing.
Guys, if you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and do that.
Yesterday I bumped into Michael Winslow. I got to have this whole experience where Leslie Easterbrook was lost and looking for her autograph table, and I got to take her all around.
It's spooky, actually. I'm going to turn the chair around a little bit
so
I can see you.
Oh, all right.
Keep an eye on you. I saw you and I thought, this guy knows everything. Terrific sound in here with
cool.
you.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, it's
really
amazing
clear.
How it... Damon Della Greca of Slasher, this awesome app.
I wanted to do something that would really make it for these people who just love to create, who love horror.
Thank you for what you're doing, dude. It's
Thank
great
you.
That you put this together.
Absolutely, man. It's always good to see you.
We're trying to have as much fun, and we want people to have fun with us, and that's why we got guys like you stop by the table, hang out. We get to do the radio thing for a little bit.
He's from Jersey. I'm
I'm from the South, so.
And I'm from the Bronx, so.
So we're all still friends. That's good.
Daniel Frankenstein. I'm representing psychothematicmedia.com. Call ourselves a creative collective.
My name is Gail Bykowitz.
Yeah, I'm Hector De La Rosa. We're partners in crime here. We're doing special effects makeup, and we're also independent filmmakers.
When I ran into them earlier, they were definitely vampire cowboys.
I love Better Off Dead. I love Villain Ted's. And I'm just so glad that you guys remember
the
film.
Oh my god, those movies. I would go to school and just try and talk like Bill and Ted all day.
No,
like,
triumphant.
I want to go to that $2, man. Right? I have walked around wanting those $2 for how many years now?
This is fantastic. Oh. But of course, I'm
we need some language lessons.
David Clone from the Hollow Knight Network, and by now you know what it's time for you to do. Let's go on over to NewJerseyHorrorCon.com, get yourself some tickets, and check out this awesome event where we are lifetime sponsors. We will be there from now until infinitum with all these incredible guests that are going to be at the next one, bringing you all the awesome from the show floor right to your digital door, right here at Hollow9.com at the New Jersey Horror Con and Film Festival.
Did you get it? I hope you got it.
I got it.
That's good. See you soon.